Hey, this is Colin Jost, and you're listening to This Blonde Can Talk About Anything, Oscars edition.
Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to episode 99 of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's, because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next. In fact, I don't think most people's names ever change their spelling. I sound so dumb right now, except for the one time that mine did, but we've covered that before, so we're not going to get into it again. So I'm doing something a little bit different this week, and I don't actually know how this is going to turn out, and I won't know until I'm done. So if it's awful, this was an experiment. So let me explain. Some of you might be familiar with my penchant for mini mic. It's a little tiny pink microphone that I purchased, which makes my self-taping a lot easier because I can just clip it to myself and then the sound audio is crystal clear for self-tapes. But when I do the podcast, I normally have like the computer set up with a big mic and whatnot. But for the last couple of episodes, I noticed that the big mic is maybe on its last leg. The sound quality was really gritty and bothering me. So I have to replace it, but I haven't had time to like actually sit down and explore my options of like which mic I would like to get. I'd like to get something more high quality than the one that I have at the moment. So I thought, why not do it on mini mic? I've seen like a lot of people bring their little mini mics to red carpets and stuff like that. So I'm giving it a whirl. The only problem with mini mic is this. Mini mic picks up every single sound. If I turn the page in the notebook that's in front of me because I have notes, you will probably hear the page turn. If I open a can of Poppy, unsponsored, you're going to hear the can open. It picks up every sound. So apologies for that in advance because I won't know what this sounds like until I play it back. And full disclosure, Full disclosure, I'm not going to re-record it. No matter how bad the sound quality is, I don't think it'll be bad. I just think it's going to pick up weird sounds like me breathing. So just pretend that you're watching one of those weird little ASMR people on TikTok that make so much money off of people just like listening to them whispering stuff. Like, can I do your hair? Do you like this sound? It's a can of Poppy. No, we're not doing that. Anyway, let me move on from this because you guys know that I'm pretty silly and I can get into random tangents and I don't want to do that for a few reasons. I know I'm about to sound like a broken record. I'm sick. I got sick on Friday. I don't know what happened. I was feeling fine. That's a lie. I wasn't feeling well on Thursday. I was like very nauseous and the only thing I could drink was like ginger ale, eating crackers, like really wasn't feeling well. Friday, I thought I felt better, and then I went to the mall, which turned out to be a big mistake. I'll spare you the details, but it got worse. And then Saturday, I felt better again, so I headed back to the mall, and then I was pretty much okay. And then Sunday, I woke up, and I wasn't feeling well, which sucks because I'm an actor, and I take great pride in celebrating the Oscars, and I normally would dress up like as if I was there. Just, you know what, I'm manifesting my life, so I have to do what I have to do. But I was unable to do that this year. I watched the Oscars in a Wicked Glinda t-shirt. I guess you might know who I was pulling for during the Oscars by that revelation. And I watched it whilst wrapped up in a Wicked Chaparral blanket and with a Wicked pillow under my head because I was really rooting for Wicked and the entire cast of Wicked, everyone involved in making Wicked. Just, I love you. Just know that. But mostly I was like rooting for my girl Ariana because I love Ariana and I always have. So we're not going to sit here and talk about Ariana because if I do, I could be here all night. Let's get into the Oscars. Let's get into it. Award season is over. My favorite season, summer, is about 3.5 months away. And I think it's going to be my best summer yet. I'm working extremely hard with, you know, acting stuff. I'm super diving into it right now. Things are about to get really crazy, and I'm speaking this into existence. And I hope Jesse Eisenberg is listening. But in the next 2 years, I will be starring in a Jesse Eisenberg written film. Jesse says that he is writing, you know, for Emma Stone. Everybody is writing for Emma Stone, but Emma Stone is too busy to do all of these screenplays, or all of these films, I should say. Well, a really talented, smart British man by the name of Eddie Redmayne told me once that I reminded him of Emma Stone. So, I mean, I'll take the compliments. Don't really see it, but I'll take the compliments. And I will humbly beg Jesse Eisenberg to cast me in anything. I'm prepared to play anything. Something that I learned from Demi Moore this season of this, you know, this award season, actually, was to like boldly go where you haven't gone before and don't be afraid to be ugly and know that people will, you know, see you for what you are and recognize your talent. I mean, she didn't win the Oscar last night, but I don't even think she needed to. I think she really won. She won life. She won me over in ways that she hadn't before. We'll talk about Demi a little bit more later on, but I just want to say that Demi's journey, and also Pamela Anderson, who should have been nominated for The Last Showgirl, those two ladies really showed me that it's okay if you don't get the recognition that you want at 16. And it's okay if you don't get it at 25. Maybe you'll get it at 27. Maybe you'll get it at 26, or, well, that's backwards. Maybe you'll get it at 30, or maybe you'll get it at 62. So yeah, Demi really has touched me in a way that I wish I could tell her. And you know what? I shouldn't say that. In a way that I will tell her soon, as soon as possible. Anywho, let's get into it first by talking about my 11 favorite dresses. There were 10 great red carpet dresses that I loved, and then one dress to rule them all. I will not be commenting on what dresses I didn't like. This isn't fashion police, and I don't really believe in policing what people wear because I myself am a little bit of an eccentric. Like, I have a pair of sunglasses, and when I put it on, my mom says, "You look like Elton John." And I'm just like, cool, I look like Elton John. Like, I don't care if people think it's weird because I like it. So whoever wore dresses that I didn't like, who felt beautiful in that dress, deserves to continue to feel beautiful. There are enough critics. I will not be one of them. So I picked, as I said, 11 dress. I couldn't help it. The one dress to rule them all, I will reveal at the end, but there were 10 looks that I really loved, red carpet looks. I'm not going to get into the after party stuff because if I do, we will be here till next Oscars. There's just so many nice dresses. So in no particular order, Michelle Yeoh, designer unknown. So I did do the research to find who designed the dresses that I liked. Some of them I couldn't find, so which is weird. Michelle Yeoh was wearing a beautiful blue gown. She looked absolutely stunning, classy, gorgeous, like the queen that she is. I loved it. On a scale of 10, I would give it a solid 8 out of 10. So now I'm rating the dress. I'm rating my top 10 dresses. So I'm giving Michelle an 8 out of 10. Mindy Kaling in a silver sparkly Oscar de la Renta dress. That's totally up my alley that I would absolutely wear. That is a dress that when you walk into the room, everybody turns their heads, honey. She looked so good. She looked gorgeous. And I really, really loved the dress. It's definitely something I would wear. 10 out of 10. Gal Gadot in a beautiful red dress, designer unknown. I thought the dress looked really beautiful on her. I thought she looked regal. I thought she looked ethereal. Gal has such a, I don't want to say modest beauty because that's not, it's her beauty. She's gorgeous, but it's understated. Like, I can't explain it. And she could really wear, you know, a tablecloth and still be absolutely stunning. But I really liked her in the red ball gown. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 just because I think the bottom part of the gown was a little bit too big, but that's just my opinion. Doja Cat, again, unknown designer. And it was a rework of an old, I believe, Balenciaga dress, but don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. It was like a beautiful sparkly leopard print number, and she looked absolutely stunning in it. I really loved the dress. Excuse me. I thought she looked out of this world. I'll give the dress 7 out of 10 just because I liked it, but I actually thought it could have been sparklier. Monica Barbaro in Dior, beautiful pink ball gown with the sparkly bralette at the top. Loved it, but there's a big but. I think the breast area, the bralette area, should have been slightly larger, even though her breasts are small. I just think, now I'm talking about someone's body, which I don't want to do. What I'm trying to say is I think that if they would have made the cups, quote unquote cups, whatever, a little bit larger, it would have given more of that sparkle. And I think that the waist was just like a little bit too high on the dress for me, but I loved the dress regardless. 7 out of 10. Halle Berry in Christian Siriano. Oh my God. What a fucking dress. Excuse me. That's how you know I really liked the dress. Like, it was all mirrors. I have no idea how she sat down in it, but she looked like a goddess. The dress, 10-10. 100%, 10-10. Oh, one of my absolute favorite dresses, something that I would definitely wear, Rachel Sennott in Balenciaga. It was like a pink gown with all these like large diamondy rhinestones, whatever you want to call it, all over it. She looked stunning. The only thing I didn't love about her look was that she chose to wear like knee-high boots in, and you could see it in the back where the slit was. But that being said, that didn't take away from how beautiful the gown was. And it also didn't take anything from Rachel's actual, you know, beauty. She looked, I have no words. 10-10. Even with the boots, even though I would have paired it with a shoe, absolutely 10-10. Demi Moore in Armani Privé. She looked like gorgeous, like no words. I have no words. Demi is 62 years old. Body is bodying. The face card has not declined. She's just a beautiful human. And I think a lot of that may come from, you know, the inside and her life experience and all of that. So she looked absolutely stunning. The dress was absolutely stunning. 10 out of 10. Emma Stone in Louis Vuitton. I really loved Emma's dress on Emma. It's not something that I think a lot of people can pull off. I think you have to have a very specific body type for that. I certainly couldn't pull it off, but she looked really stunning to me. I'm a huge Emma Stone fan, so of course I love, you know, pretty much everything she wears. She was wearing Louis Vuitton. She's always wearing Louis Vuitton because she's the ambassador for Louis Vuitton. But that dress was beautiful. I've never met an Emma Stone dress that I didn't like. She just doesn't miss. She's just such a fashion icon. Though it's not something that I could ever wear. 10-10. So Ariana Grande in Schiaparelli, the red carpet dress that she had on that kind of, somebody said it looked like a lampshade. I actually loved it, and I think it was my favorite carpet dress. It was so different and so stunning. Like, it was a striking, very bold, but somehow very understated dress. I don't know how to like totally explain it, but it was stunning. And Ariana looked like a little fairy, and like a 10-10. I loved it. And now, one dress to rule them all. Not to spoil it if you haven't seen it already. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo opened the show with a tribute to the original Wizard of Oz, and then following, you know, Cynthia saying Defying Gravity. Talk about that in a bit. But Ariana came out in this beautiful red dress, so sparkly, with the tulle on the side. And of course, she had ruby slippers on her feet. But when she turned around, she had this beautiful red sparkly stiletto on her back. And to me, that was like symbolic of her carrying the original film on her back with her as she's been playing Glinda, as she continues to promote the film, because Wicked for Good is coming out in like 250 days. I'm not counting or anything. The red dress with the ruby slipper on the back is the one dress to rule them all. 100 out of 10. I can't even rate it. It was so stunning. I wanted it. I still want it. Can somebody find the dress and get it to me immediately? Because if you can't, I'll pay you like $10 million. I just have to make a phone call to get it. So since I was talking about the dress, let's talk about that opening number. If I had to rank the opening number alone, 100 million zillion out of 10, I'm a Wizard of Oz kid. You know this. If you've listened to the podcast, you know this. I grew up just wanting to be Dorothy Gale of Kansas. I was a method actress by the age of 3. I really believed that I was Dorothy with my red shoes on, and people had to call me Dorothy. And I just have the fondest memories of that movie, and that time in my life. And Ariana's voice is so pure. And that Over the Rainbow is such a difficult song to sing. And when she came out, the first note, I was just like, I started to cry because it brought me back to somewhere that I haven't been in a really long time, a really happy place. And she looked the part, and it was just, it was beautiful. And then Cynthia comes out with that powerhouse voice and blows us all away while singing Defying Gravity. And then, of course, they come back together for the unlimited bit. And I didn't want it to end. I really thought that that opening number was so beautiful. Like, I'm speechless. I have never seen such a stunning opening number at any Oscars ever. There have been fun opening numbers. There have been bad opening numbers, but there has never been an opening number that made me start to cry within like 10 seconds. A lot of people were expecting that they were going to do some type of medley where they would mix in Wizard of Oz songs and songs from Wicked and go on for like 11 or 12 minutes. But that's not what happened, and I'm glad. I think it's really beautiful that Ariana came out and sang the entire Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then Cynthia had her moment with Defying Gravity. And then they had their little moment together. Just stunning women, beautiful voices. Everything about it was absolute perfection. And I think that that was the best moment of the entire night. Conan was not a bad host, but I do miss Jimmy Kimmel. I didn't love his opening number song. Like, I'm not going to waste any time because so much time was wasted, not by him, but just in general. And then like Dancing Deadpool and this, it was a lot. And I just felt like we didn't need another musical number after that. A Wicked, you know, I am speechless when I talk about it, but after the Wicked and Wizard of Oz medley, there didn't need to be another musical number like immediately following it, but it is what it is. And, you know, can't change it. It happened. I'm just going to talk about some of the performances before I actually get into like who won the awards and so on and how I felt about that. So there was the tribute to Quincy Jones. I hated it. And I'll tell you why. Quincy Jones is very synonymous with Will Smith, who is banned from the Oscars, who has previously tributed him at the Grammy Awards. He tributed Quincy Jones. And it just felt wrong to not see Will there. I mean, Will is somebody that I grew up watching that I love to this day. And I know the story of how he was discovered. And I know that without Quincy Jones, we would not know Will Smith. So it was really hard for me not seeing him being a part of that. I mean, Oprah's a great choice. You can never go wrong with Oprah. But the Queen Latifah performance she performed Ease On Down the Road from The Wiz was a little weird. The reason I say that is no one was really dancing. There was literally Ariana Grande, Cynthia Erivo, and Coleman Domingo in the front row dancing, and everyone else remained seated, which makes me wonder if they all just didn't like it or if they're just being rude. I don't know, but I personally didn't love it. I really would have preferred Will up there talking about Quincy, not any disrespect to Queen Latifah, who I think is insanely talented. I don't know. I just didn't love it. I thought the Bond tribute was a little strange because there has been no James Bond film in recent memory. And I don't think it's celebrating any anniversary, But I will say, I wonder, I feel like this might be confirmation that Margaret Qualley is our next Bond girl. And people on the internet are speaking kind of, not kind of, very nastily, that's not even a word, I just made it up, about her performance and claiming she can't dance and all these kinds of things. I'd like to see you try. I would like to see you try. That's all I have to say. There was a beautiful moment between Andrew Garfield and Goldie Hawn. that wasn't rehearsed, I've learned. She didn't know that he was going to do that, which is probably why she kept trying to stop him. And he was like, nope, I'm going to continue. Andrew's love for his mom and his continued grief for his mom and his obsession with thanking everybody who made life better for her brings me to my knees. It breaks my heart because grief and I have been friends for a very long time, and she's kind of a bitch, that grief. But I get it. You know, you only grieve to the extent of with which you loved, and to love that much is rare and special. And seeing him with Goldie just kind of meant so much to me. There's a lot of people that my grandfather and I watched together, and I wish I could thank them, but most of them are dead. So that's probably not going to happen. So yeah, I just wanted to shout out Andrew for being really just brutally honest about the pain that he's in without ever actually mentioning the pain. Pain's always there. And we'll talk about that in a bit. So I took down notes about who won what, but it's not in the correct order, but that's okay. Let's talk first about Best Picture. So I expected The Brutalist to win it because it has won so many Best Pictures, and was very shocked when Anora won. Not because I think Anora was a bad film, because I just don't think Anora was the best film. And you probably don't have to use your imagination to realize that I was hoping Wicked would win. I was really hoping and praying that at least would be the big one, that they would win that one, because Wicked is so beautifully done and so touching. But I was wrong. I didn't get what I want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find, get what you need. I don't know. but I want to say congratulations to Anora. It's an indie film. Indie films get significantly less love than box office films. So congratulations to the cast of Anora, cast, crew, everybody. Do I think it was the best picture? No, but I mean, La La Land lost best picture, so it doesn't make sense. best actress, Mikey Madison. Very happy for her. Very happy for her. But Demi Moore really earned that. And at 62 years old, it's very unlikely that Demi will be nominated again, unless they give her more meaty projects going forward, which is the hope. I'd like to see her up there, you know, accepting an award. I feel like, yes, she's been given her flowers to an extent, but she should have won last night. I feel they really robbed her in that category. I understand that, The Substance is very, it's not the type of film that the Academy normally would celebrate. So the fact that she was nominated at all is amazing. But I really, like, who rigged this voting? Did somebody pay for this? Like, Mikey Madison is super talented, don't get me wrong, but Demi sweeped, so it doesn't make any sense. But it is what it is, and congratulations to Mikey. I can't wait to see what she does next. She's brilliant. She's stunning. She is the moment, and I celebrate her despite the fact that I also celebrate Demi, and am a little salty about Demi's loss. Best actor, Adrian Brody. Okay, I expected that. My heart wanted Timothy. Timothy was not always somebody that I really loved. Like, I always thought he was a great actor, but there was something missing for me. When he mentioned Marlon Brando, he completely took my heart, ran away with it. So I was like, yeah, I hope it's Timmy. Because Timothy is now the youngest actor since James Dean to be nominated twice. Although, James Dean did it twice posthumously, which is very, like, 2 years in a row, actually. And he was already, you know, gone before he ever got those nominations. He never knew. Sad. So I would have loved to see Timothy win, but Adrian Brody is a great actor. However, I found his behavior to be quite strange, like telling the orchestra to stop playing the music because he's been here before. Like, sir, I understand you're like a two-time Academy Award winner and very proud of you, very happy for you, but that wasn't necessary. He broke the record for longest running speech. Now, I can talk, but I think that I would, you know, if I was up, when I'm up there winning my Oscar, when I'm up there winning my Oscar, I'll be thanking a lot of people, but I'll do it really quickly like this so that they don't play me off. I kind of saw a side of him that I didn't really love, but it was, you know, one of the last awards. So there's a pretty good chance that he was drunk, in which case I hope he enjoyed the rest of the night. Congratulations to Adrien Brody and all nominees, really. So the next one I have is international film. I'm Still Here. I didn't see any of these films, not gonna lie. So I'm Still Here won, and I actually expected that it would based on things that I have heard from other people. Supporting actress, the category that broke my heart. Zoe Saldana, or Saldana, I don't know, because she used to be a Black woman called Zoe Saldana, and now she's a Latina woman called Zoe Saldana, and she won, and I was really hoping that this was the one place that they were going to shut her down. How should I put this? See, Emilia Perez is just a really offensive movie in so many ways. It's offensive to the LGBTQIA+ community, and it's offensive to Mexicans. And a Mexican A Mexican journalist called Zoe out on that. And Zoe was just like, no, I don't share your opinion. No, it's not about Mexico. But at the end, I'm open to talking about how Emilia could have been done better. Zoe, you had so many opportunities to say that before the Oscar was in your hand. So it seems pretty disingenuous. And it feels like all you cared about was yourself. And it made me lose a lot of respect for Zoe Saldana. Because I don't know how to say her last name anymore because she changed it. I had hoped for Ariana Grande in that category. I had hoped that this would be the one where somebody would upset instead of Mikey Madison over Demi Moore, but it's fine. Even Monica Barbaro would have been a better choice. Anybody but Zoe would have been a better choice just based on what the film's about. And unfortunately, I think Emilia Perez won way more awards than it deserved. This is the one that I was most happy about. Supporting actor Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain. Ugh, A Real Pain is such a beautiful film, such a beautifully made film, and such an honest film. If you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it for you. But it speaks to the, you know, that person who always walks in a room and lights it up, and they're so happy. And they're so bubbly and their life just seems so great, but you can't see that on the inside, everything hurts and they don't want to even live anymore. And I know that feeling. I know what it feels like to be that person who lights up every room. And I know that sometimes I'm lighting up a room when I can't even light up myself. So it was a beautiful film. He was sensational in it. The script had a lot to do with why it was so good. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I was so happy for Kieran Culkin. And I'll be really happy for him when I hear that his wife is pregnant with twins, because I don't want Jazz to have to go through it twice. he's such a wonderful guy. I know they're not supposed to show like favoritism, but I don't understand why they beeped out him celebrating his fellow nominee and former co-star, from Succession, Jeremy Strong, who played his brother. Everybody in the Best Supporting Actor category was absolutely amazing. So whoever won I wouldn't have had any complaints, but I really was pulling for Kieran, and I'm so happy that he did win, and I hope he gets those two babies that he wants. I think that's so precious and sweet. Couple goals, honestly. Okay, best director, Sean Baker for Anora. Happy for him, but I was expecting it to be Brady Corbet. I think everybody was expecting it to be Brady Corbet. And then when it wasn't, it was kind of a nice surprise. So I was really happy for Sean Baker. I'm not a big Brady Corbet fan. I don't think he's bad. Like, I wouldn't say anybody's bad. You can't be bad to be at that level of making films. He's just not like my type of filmmaker, I guess you can say. It was so nice to see a Sean Baker get the award from Quentin Tarantino, who cast Mikey Madison in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, it felt like a full circle sort of moment. Just really beautiful. And I've been looking for a sign lately. And I said to myself, you know, if I see Quentin Tarantino, because it wasn't announced, I didn't see anywhere that he was going to be there. And when he came out, I was like, oh, there it is. That's the sign I've been looking for. So when you're looking for a sign, you will find it, guys. Best documentary, No Other Land. I didn't see any of the documentaries, so I can't speak to it. I can't speak to it at all. All I can say is congratulations to everyone involved. The best original song, El Mal from Emilia Perez. I really just wish we could erase Emilia Perez from existence, just entirely. Just, I really, maybe there was no good choice. Maybe there was no better choice. Excuse me, my voice is getting a little dry, so I took a drink. I don't like to do this usually, but I'm not feeling well, as I said. And I wanted to get this out today because there's no point in waiting a couple days after the Oscars to get these things out. So it's here now. And you're getting me sick, you're getting me with a dry throat, and you're getting me probably with really strange sounds since I decided to use mini mic. But I guess we'll find out when I stop talking. Yeah, I think any other song would have been a better choice. I don't understand. I don't understand how they can award Emilia Perez in any category for any reason. It's just offensive. Animated feature. Oh, so Flow won for that. That's the one of the ones that Andrew Garfield and Goldie Hawn presented. I was not upset about it, but I was really shocked that it wasn't The Wild Robot. But maybe The Wild Robot was too safe of a bet anyway, so that's why it ended up being Flow. Which is awesome. Like, congratulations. Animation, however, I will say, animation gets it wrong all the time because how the, in what fucking world is Shrek better than Monsters, Inc.? I don't get it. Like, I guess Shrek is about not focusing on beauty so much, but Monsters, Inc. is about, as John Goodman would say, how the power of love, the power of laughter will always drive out the power of fear. And he immediately falls in love with little Boo, and it reminds me of my grandpa. So I met Pete Docter, creator of that film, in September, and I got to tell him that, which was so awesome. But ever since that Oscars, I've not had faith in them because how do you not award Monsters, Inc.? It's so beautiful. I'm about to start crying. I need to move on. Best score went to The Brutalist. Not sure that I agree with that. I really think that it should have been Wicked, and that's not only because I think Wicked was the best film of the year. It's because I think, I just, if you watch the film, you can, and you are an Oz kid like me, you will hear that Wicked has its own original score, but undertones of the score from The Wizard of Oz are present. For example, when they're singing No One Mourns the Wicked, you can hear subtly in the back tones of Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. And I just think that's so, like, I don't know anything about creating a score. I only know that Hans Zimmer is really good at it. They layered it in such a beautiful and perfect way. I'm really sad that they didn't win for that. Just because they should have. Live action short, I'm not a robot, so I didn't see any of those films, so I can't speak to them. But I like the name. I'm not a robot. It means that it's not AI. Adapted screenplay, Conclave. I'm good with that. I'm happy with that. Satisfied with that. Think Conclave was mind blowing, really. So I have no complaints. All I have is tons of love and congratulations to the writers. Original screenplay, Anora. annoying. Yeah, no, that's not the best original screenplay. It's definitely a real pain, the one that Kieran Culkin won for and was written by Jesse Eisenberg. And I really thought Jesse was going to take it, and he really should have. That movie could not have been easy to write, and I don't know Jesse, so I can't say if he was writing from a place of experience or if he was writing from a place of witnessing someone that he cares deeply for go through that, the whole like grief. It's hard. So I don't know where he got the inspiration for the film, but not winning, like, what? Like, I was so devastated. Anora, annoying. It's a movie about a sex worker. There's like 100 of those. Like, just, I don't want to say it's not original because it is, but I just think Jesse's movie was stronger, better, faster, wiser. I just think it was a better screenplay. And that, again, this is an opinion and you don't have to agree with it. For example, I was on social media talking about certain, you know, parts of the Oscars that I agreed with or didn't agree with. And I mentioned that I was, you know, disappointed that Demi didn't win. And I had people messaging me so many negative things, mostly about her age. And there were so many, it was like 2000 comments. And I had to shut down the comments because I'm not going to sit here and let you put down a woman because, oh my God, she's 62 years old. So like, it's an opinion. You don't like, you thought that, I don't know, Cynthia Erivo should have won. So do I, but it's not up to me. I think Demi or Cynthia should have won it, but I'm happy for Mikey. Like, I just don't understand why people can't find ways to be happy for someone else, especially these fan wars. Like, be happy for the other person, because the reality of it all is that the nomination is the win. There are so many performances, great, brilliant performances in a year that don't get that recognition. So if you're nominated, you've won in many ways, and any actor will tell you that. But yeah, I'm really annoyed that A Real Pain didn't win, but again, still happy for Anora. Documentary, The Only Girl in the Orchestra. Didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. Yeah. So I can't really say anything except congratulations. Cinematography, The Brutalist, kind of saw it coming. So I mean, any choice in that category would have been great because cinematography is very hard. Animated short, In the Shadow of Cyprus. Did not see it, but congratulations anyway. Visual effects. See, I talked about this on the last show. I thought Wicked would get it. I did. But I also went back and forth saying that it was possible that it would be Dune. And it was. It was Dune Part 2, and I'm happy for them. I think it's both of these films have brilliant landscapes that are completely faked. So, I mean, congratulations to whoever would have won, but it should have been Wicked, in my opinion. And again, just my opinion. Hair and makeup styling went to The Substance. No, I don't think Wicked should have won that one, actually. I agree 100% with The Substance, what they did to make... How many hours you have to sit in a chair to make Demi Moore ugly? Like, holy crap. That was some amazing, amazing work. And congratulations to the hair and makeup team on The Substance. I can't wait to see every other film that you make because, holy shit, like, amazing. Costume design went to Wicked. And I want to say congratulations, Paul Tazewell, for becoming the first Black man to win Best Costume Design. And so deservedly. The costumes in Wicked are beautiful, and I want to wear them all. I think that says it all. But I'm just really proud of Paul Tazewell for making history. Yeah, very, very, very happy for Paul Tazewell and Wicked. Editing. So went to Anora. Editing is really hard, so no matter who won, it was deserved. So I have nothing to say about that. Production design, Wicked. Absolutely agree with that. The reason I agree with that is because they use a lot of practical sets, which people opt not to do anymore, and they definitely deserved it, and I'm happy for them. And lastly, sound engineering, Dune Part 2. I would have gave it to Wicked for the same reason that I would have gave Wicked the score, the scoring award, or best original score, I should say. But you know what? Happy for Dune. I mean, you can be disappointed that your favorite didn't. I hope you didn't hear that I just banged my leg on the table. You can be happy for whoever won and still be disappointed that, you know, whoever you wanted to win didn't, without taking away the accomplishment from the other. So that's it. That's every category. I was overall really, I enjoyed the show. I always do. I always cry, but I cried less than usual. I cried like twice. I cried when Ariana was singing Over the Rainbow, and I cried when Kieran gave his speech. It was, I'm really proud of Kieran Culkin. I'm really proud of everyone, really, who was there, who was nominated. There's no bad blood between me and anyone, except I did lose, sadly, a lot of respect for Zoe Saldana last night after watching her respond to a journalist who was visibly, or I should say audibly, shook by the way Emilia Perez was done. And that's it. That's it. That's an Oscars roundup. I don't know how long this is. I think it's maybe like 30 or 40 minutes, which is a short podcast for me and for you to listen to. We are inching closer and closer to 104 episodes, which is 2 years worth of content, which is, you know, it only took me 4 years to do it. And I am anticipating bringing back my first celebrity guest, Tom Bergeron. I just have to see what he's up to schedule-wise. And I'm sure he'll be back here soon, because we're at 99, right? So there's like four more episodes, maybe five, and then Tom should be back. But good news, this might be the last week that I'm here talking to myself, because I have every intention to reach out to guests now that the wildfires have calmed down. Well, no, the wildfires are out. People are still in need of a lot of help, and I will probably do an episode updating. Yeah, my next episode will be like one more update on how you can help people in the fires and who still need help, because they still, who were affected by the fires, not in the fires, excuse me, they very much need your help. But award season's over, so I think I can finally start reaching out to people again. I think now is an okay time to do it. I didn't want to do it before because publicists are like bombarded by stuff. And so I'm just going to give it a week and then I'm gonna start reaching out again. So we will have guests. I mentioned before that I wanted to have Francis Ford Coppola on the show. He liked it. And ever since then, I have not stopped manifesting that we are going to have Francis on the show. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. And I especially want Francis on this show since he won the Razzie Award for, I don't know which Razzie Award he won. I can't remember, but it was for Megalopolis. And he posted about it in such a beautiful way, talking about how people don't dare make art anymore. And like, why are we scoring art the way we score professional wrestling? Which is kind of funny, because I got like some people really angry with me by saying that professional wrestling is not cinema. It's not. It cannot be. Literally cannot, because by definition, cinema is the British version of, you know, a movie theater or making films. That's what the process of making films. Like it's cinema is not wrestling. So it's not TV. Breaking Bad is an amazing series, but it's not cinema, because it literally cannot be by its definition. So just everything Francis says is so intelligent, and I want him on here. Of course, I want him on here when I'm not like sick and tired and loopy, so that I don't sound silly. But I have every intention of bringing you Francis Ford Coppola. And maybe I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Just like I didn't know how I was going to do a ton of other stuff, and then I did it. And I think with that, I'm going to head to bed, actually, because it's not that late. It's like 8:15, but I'm quite tired. As I said, I'm not feeling myself. I'm not feeling great. So I'll be back next week with some California fire update information, and perhaps a guest as well. We'll see how that plays out. Make sure you are following on all socials. So we have multiple socials. You can follow on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, at A Blonde Who Talks. Thank you, by the way. We're at like 52 or 53,000 followers there. On Instagram, at This Blonde Can Talk. on Blue Sky Social at This Blonde Can Talk, Threads at This Blonde Can Talk. And of course, I do a lot of promotion on my personal account, That Brash Blonde on Instagram. That's where most people tell me who they'd like to hear from and so on. So make sure you're following all those pages and let me know who you want to hear from and let me know what you want me to talk about so that we can, you know, tailor the show more to what you want to hear. Not always just me talking about what I think is relevant. So that's all I got. I have to say thank you to my sponsors, Michael Solberg Family Wines. You can find them on Instagram at Michael Solberg Family Wines. They have delicious California. See, I'm so unpolished and I love that about myself because life is so weird and people always expect you to be so polished and sometimes I'm just not. And this is one of those days and it's okay. they sell delicious California wines, Michael Solberg Family Wines. So check them out. The Camel Toe Eliminating Moisture Wicking Underwear made for women by women at HUXWEAR. Check them out. These are my friends. They are amazing. And lastly, Snack Conscious, the protein balls that taste actually really good. They're delicious and they're guilt-free at SNACKCONCIOUS on Instagram. And of course, when you're done listening to this, you are going to run and listen to All Body No Brains. Follow them at All Body No Brains, my favorite podcast. Nobody pays me to say this. It's unsponsored. I just love the show. and that's all I got. So I'm probably a few minutes away from finding out how good or terrible Mini Mike sounded. Hopefully it won't be that bad. I love you guys and I thank you so much for tuning in every single week. You're the reason that I keep doing this. This is not my main job. I'm an actor. That's where I live, and getting on here and talking to you guys is just something I do for fun and something I do to speak to other actors that I wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to talk to and learn from and whatnot. So that's why I continue to do this podcast, despite it taking me 4 years to get 2 years of content. And by that, I mean like 52 consecutive weeks is a year. So that's what I mean by I did 2 years worth of content. I've had to take hiatuses for illnesses. I've had to take hiatuses due to strikes, just so many different things. But I'm here now and interviews are coming back very, very soon. And I can't wait for you guys to hear from all the wonderful guests that I am lining up for you. Again, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you have a great day, week, month, or life if you never plan on listening to this podcast again. Bye.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with The Real Colin Jost.